Morning, everybody. Excited. It's almost spring. Hang in there. We're going to get there back out on the golf course. Chuck.
Amen.
And amen. Whew, I love this church. I needed that ministry this morning. Did anybody need that? I needed the divine flow of the Holy Spirit to speak to me. That word that Tracy had about letting things go. I realized I've been carrying a lot of just stuff that the Lord was asking me to let go of that. And jokingly, Michael said something about order. And I want to take this moment to just point this out. My ministry school mentor has this phrase, and he said, to man, order is to line things up neatly in a row, like these chairs. But to God, order is to let things flow, like those trees out there in the forest. Would you argue that that's not orderly? Of course that's orderly. That's God's order. It's his organic planning process, or the stars thrown across the sky. That's God's order. So when Paul said, let us do everything decently in order, my submission to you is what's happening this morning is exactly in God's divine order. Because it's the Holy Spirit speaking to us, through us, and flowing within our midst.
Yeah.
Do we have a structure? Of course we have a plan. We have a plan. Who's going to lead worship? They work very hard and get here very early on Sunday morning. We have a plan for who's going to lead the meeting. Who's going to bring the word? Potentially. No, I'm just kidding. Of course we have a plan, but that plan is a structure in order to serve the flow of what God's going to do. Are you guys on board?
Yeah.
Oh, I knew you were. I just wanted to say that because I love that flow, and I don't ever want to apologize for that, because it's really a part of where life is. It's that thing of just being, just flowing with God. And Holy Spirit, we love you.
Yes.
Just take a minute and just let that presence continue to just settle on you right now. Thank you, Jesus, that because of your broken body that we're celebrating in this season, Lord, that we have access to heaven right now. And Father, we just ask that you would just enable us to see all of heaven, to hear all of heaven, to speak of heaven today, which you made possible. In your Son's name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. What was that last phrase that we sang? I heard about a man, Jesus. I heard about a river. Do you have that slide handy by any chance? What was that? I want to look at this last slide. I think it was on, what song is that? Oh, there it is. I heard about a man, Jesus, and everything he touches comes alive.
So good.
Church is over, you know? Done. Who's been touched like that? Just one touch. Just one touch. Now look at this portrait. Put that slide of him up there. I want you to look in those eyes. I want you to look at that face. As John recorded, Michael mentioned this at the beginning, if anyone has seen me, Jesus said, they have seen my Father. Now we don't know exactly what Jesus looked like when he walked the earth in the Middle East. But we know, I believe personally, that Akiana got a pretty good shot at it. She had a heavenly visitation where she saw this face. At age 8, she was able to paint it. A little boy named Colton, who didn't know her. And if you've ever seen the movie Heaven Is For Real, he's this little toddler. He goes to heaven. And when he comes to and they are able to get him back, he, for example, knew about a baby sister that his mom had miscarried and began to ask his parents, what was the name of my sister? And they were absolutely dumbfounded because they never told him that they'd had a miscarriage with his sister. But he found it out because he saw her in heaven. And so they began to ask Colton, well, what did Jesus look like? And they showed him picture after picture, you know, every picture of Jesus you can find. Until one day, I think Akiana's picture happened to come out, if I'm recollecting this correctly. Forgive me if I'm wrong, but they saw it like come across the TV or something like that, or maybe online. And all of a sudden, this little boy goes, "That's him. That's exactly what he looks like." I don't know. Whatever the case is, just look at the face. Because as we say in our culture, he's a chip off the old block. You know, there's my dad, right? What do you think? If he were to, can anybody tell that we're related? He's a chip off the old block. And my son Gabe sitting there. I hope he's a chip off the old block. Well, Jesus said this, and Paul recorded this a little out of the off the list I gave you, Tavitris, but in Colossians 1:15, I love this phrase and the way that he translates it in the Passion Translation. It's such a beautiful portrait that Paul writes. He is the divine portrait, the true likeness of the invisible God. Has it ever frustrated you that God's invisible? Let's be honest. Yeah. Like, I've had my daughter say, "But how do I know I can't see him? Why can't he be right here with me?" But we need to take heart because he is real. He is visible in Jesus. He's the true likeness and the firstborn heir of all creation. For in him was created the universe of things, both in the heavenly realm and on the earth, all that is seen and all that is unseen. Every seat of power, realm of government, principality and authority, it all exists through him and for his purpose. He existed before anything was made, and now everything finds completion in him. He is the head of his body, which is the church. And since he's the beginning and the firstborn heir in resurrection, he is the most exalted one, holding first place in everything. For God is satisfied to have all his fullness dwelling in Christ. And by the blood of his cross, everything in heaven and earth is brought back to himself, back to its original intent, restored to innocence again. Don't you just love that? He brought us all the way full circle back to the garden where Adam and Eve walked in the coolness of the day with their father. And I do believe God wants to go after healing in this season. Today I want to talk about this reflection. Next week I'm going to talk about the promise of the Father and the filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's the promise of the Father. And then the Palm Sunday we've got a guest speaker, Mark Andringa, our very own. He's going to teach on the blessing. On the blessing of the Father. Won't that be awesome? And then we can come here that Sunday night and learn about what Jesus did as our Passover lamb. So I'm excited about what the Lord is speaking and doing in the season. And I really believe that the worship even set a tone of healing that the Lord wants to do in this room. Yeah. Because again, if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Yeah. Okay? And here's one of the problems with that is that I've read the Bible many, many times. I lost count, but every time I read the Old Testament, and especially for some reason this January and February, as I'm reading the Old Testament, it often causes me to wonder, what is God really like? What is the Father really like? Because I read some of the stories of the Old Covenant, and it rubs against some of my ideas of what I believe about God. Is this true? Is that true? And I don't know about you, but if he is my Father, I really want to know him. I really want to know what he is like. Okay, and it's interesting that Jesus was the first Jew, the first Jewish man in the history of Israel to come on the scene and refer to him as my father. Did you know that? In fact, it was heretical. It was heresy, deserving of punishment by stoning, to refer to Yahweh or Jehovah as father. That was not permissible. Why? Because to equate yourself or to call him as your father is to equate yourself with him. Let me show you what I mean by that. John 5:16. So the Jewish leaders began, this was just after Jesus had healed that crippled man beside the pool of Bethesda. Do y'all remember that story? Just after that. So that was wild, but the Jewish leaders began harassing Jesus for breaking the Sabbath rules, but Jesus replied, "My Father is always working, and so am I." So the Jewish leaders tried all the harder to find a way to kill him. For he not only broke the Sabbath, but what? He called God his Father, thereby making himself equal with God. You see what I'm saying? John 20:17, after the resurrection, he said this, "Don't cling to me," he said to his disciples, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father, but go to find my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and whose Father?" Tap your neighbor and say, "That's yours. That's your dad. That's your papa. That's your pops. That's your daddy." Whatever name you use to refer, that's your Abba. Jesus is saying, listen, they wanted to kill me. They did kill him. They wanted to kill me because I said that I am one with the Father, but now you are one with the Father. Whoa, wait a second. We just shifted the whole ball game here. What if they want to kill me now? Well, see, there is a demonic spirit. There is an adversary. And he is trying to kill everything that resembles and has to do with the Father. Yeah. It's the Father crisis in the world. Why does that exist? Because there's an enemy out, just like he killed Jesus. An enemy out to kill fathers. The spirit of the Father. The unconditional 1 Corinthians 13 love chapter. Love of the Father. He's out there to tear it down. And here we sit. We all sit here in this room this morning with some element of either pain, loss, shame, suffering. Something having to do with an adversary who's come to keep us away from our biological fathers or our adopted fathers, therefore the Father. And I want to tell you, I preached this a few weeks back, is not only are you called to be a son and a daughter, which is a huge revelation, but you're actually called to be a friend of the Father. But see, how can I be a friend of the Father if I don't even know the Father or really believe that he wants to be with me? Because how many people had a father that didn't want to be with you? How many have had a father that abandoned you or divorced the family or whatever the case is? And this is not a day for father bashing. Because I'm going to share in a minute, at a young age, I was divorced and went through that. So the way that I look at it is all of the fingers are pointing at us. But what the hope is that, like Jesus is saying here in these passages, the Father, my Father, his Father, and your Father is here. And he desires to reconcile with us. Yeah. Did you say, no, one of the last statements in the Old Testament, I think it is the last statement of Malachi, if you look that up, do you know what it says? It says that there's a time coming when he will restore the hearts of the fathers for their children. And the hearts of the children to their fathers. And in fact, it's the reason Jesus came. He came, like Colossians says, was for original intent. I don't know if you can sense this, but there's an anointing in the room right now. He's wanting to touch our hearts and heal whatever place that is that would, from the past, from our lives, keep us out of relationship with the Father. Because I really believe this is a key, an anointing for his church. And think about the Lord's Prayer, right? The classic Lord's Prayer. Let's all start it together. You ready? Go. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Stop right there. Who did we address that to?
Our Father.
Not our CEO, not our, you know, whatever you want to put in the blank there. No, our Father. Do you think this might be important? I just think, again, when I read the Old Testament, like, God, I want to know you. I want to know you. And Bill Johnson says this, anything that I believe about God, the Father, that I cannot find in Jesus, I have reason to question. Think about that for a minute. So whatever you've been taught, whatever you've read, whatever you believe about God the Father, go find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Go ask the Holy Spirit to show it to you in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the story, life, and ministry of Jesus. And if it's not there, we need to ask God about this. What have we always believed about the Father? Tavitras recently led me to this new systematic theology book, of which I geek out on. And, you know, we read theology books for fun. This is 900 pages of deep, deep stuff. And it's called Father-Son Theology. And I'm like, wow, this is revolutionary to me. Now, what I'm preaching this morning, God, I've been marinating in for a long, long time. It's not necessarily connected to that systematic theology book. But what that systematic theology book is giving me, the whole gamut from point A to point Z of how these all tie together to reveal the Father. Because that's why Jesus came. He came to reveal the Father. Now, I understand that, like I said, although we all need this, this message may be difficult to hear for some. Really, I think even for me, and I've had a great father, I think it's a difficult because, again, there's a spiritual adversary against us. Yeah. He's called the accuser of the brethren. That's a biblical term, the brethren. You know, that sounds like some twisted horror film or something, the accuser of the brethren. No. It's just a name. We won't give too much credit to the devil, but he's real. And he's out there to accuse, and he's out there to point a finger at, and he's out there to destroy identity, and he's out there to lie to you and to tear you down. It's really the opposite of the role of the Father, okay? And so that makes it difficult. And if that's hard for you, I really can empathize with your pain. But even more, I believe Jesus, the Son of God, can empathize with you. He came in order to live in your place, that he can show you your place so that he can show you his Father and yours. In fact, on the cross, what is one of the things that he cried out? My God, why have you forsaken me? Some have felt forsaken by the Father, by your Father. And I believe the Spirit of God is here this morning to heal that. I want to ask you to begin a journey of healing, okay? It may not happen in a once moment. We pray that it does. We pray that a miraculous shift, as a hand is laid on your shoulder, as a Father's blessing is spoken over you, that it would happen. God does that. But probably that's going to begin something that God is going to begin to teach you how to walk it out. How to begin to live in the spirit of adoption, which is just a phrase that means to walk in sonship and daughterhood. That's not gender specific. It's to walk in that knowing who you are and whose you are. And therefore, there's nothing that the devil can say to me. There's nothing that he can do to lie to me. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. That's Romans 8. So as we look into the face of Jesus, this is from that a quote from that systematic theology I was telling you about. His name's Harold Eberle. What are the key values, purpose, priorities, and passions that we see here? As you watch Jesus, whatever we find in him, we know to be true of the Father as well. Whenever he came up against lack, how did he respond? Whenever he confronted sickness or demons, what was his reaction? When he came up against a self-righteous attitude, how did he respond? Many of you know most of the answers to those, but maybe there's many others that we're not sure about. What was Jesus' heart about money, marriage, family? What did Jesus think about, I don't know, you name it, business, right? Is there any budding entrepreneurs in here? Yeah, we've been talking about getting wisdom in entrepreneurship. Because wisdom isn't just the book of Proverbs, but wisdom is a man. His name is Jesus. Solomon in the book of Proverbs was really writing all about him, about this face, about this reflection. And that's why it's a reflection of the Father. Because when we look at this face, it's like he's looking in a mirror at Father God. Or as the Bible in Hebrew calls it, Abba. Therefore, I think that when you look at that face, it's a mirror back. It's a mirror image of Christ. That's what the Bible says. Is we are a reflection of that. But it becomes difficult to be a reflection of that when we don't understand who his Father is. Now, I know there's a bit of word games here because the Trinity is three in one. He is in the Father and the Father is in him and the Holy Spirit is wrapped up three in one. But I want to submit to you that so are we. And as we gain more and more revelation, we get, as I like to say, smashed up between the Trinity. We get smushed up, just conglomerated in with Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's what next week is going to be partly about too, is that the promise of the Father is not just to love you, but to fill you. It wasn't just an idea to get you to heaven. It was an idea to fill you so that you get the world to heaven as well. Anyway, that's getting into that. Yeah, you feeling that, Michael? Key things, and I want to do these quickly and then pray. Three key things that we learn as we look at the Father through Jesus. John 1:1, in the beginning, the living expression was already there, or the Word. Most translations say the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. The living expression was with the Father, yet fully God. They were together. Look at this phrase. Face to face. Everybody say face to face. Face to face. That would be really awkward if I told you to do that with your neighbor. But just put your hand in front of your face. You see how close that is. You see how close that is. You can take it down now. Face to face. Imagine if the Father were that close with you from the beginning. Well, guess what? He was. He always has been. The first point is, you have always been with the Father. Don't misunderstand me. We feel a million miles away from our sin. Okay? The Bible says that even before, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It wasn't just us who responded. It was him first. He came running after you. And I believe the Father has had a plan for you from the very beginning. As he told Jeremiah, before I even formed you in your mother's womb, like that baby in Monet's womb, come forth, baby. Not right now, but like in right, you know. Okay, let me be careful how I prophesy. my wire just broke. Sorry, Monet. Even though that probably wouldn't be disappointing to you at this point. Yeah, like, okay, we'll see you later. Where was I? Oh. While you were yet in your mother's womb, he told Jeremiah, I knew you. And I called you, ordained you as a prophet to the nations. You see, so then we're born into the world. We have to come to an age where we recognize our sin and our fallen human nature, and choose the sacrifice of Christ, right? And be born again. But that doesn't negate the fact that the Father is the one, the creator of the universe, is the one who formed you and knew you all along. Even when at 18, 19 years old, I'm off running a million miles away from God, I believe the Father still loved me. I believe He still called me. I believe He was still near to me. I believe He was right there all the time. Even when I'm like taking hallucinogenics and seeing demonic manifestations and just doing all the things that only please the flesh, I know that the Father loved me. You see, that's a simple point, but it's primer number one. If you can't get beyond that, it's hard to grow any further. Because why? There's the accuser of the brethren. There's that phrase again. There's that evil, demonic thing that's trying to separate you, even after coming to Christ, from believing that you have always been loved by the Father. Remember, primary, back to the beginning, the moment of origination. In the NIV, it says, so are we. We've always been one. He was with God in the beginning. He's loved us from the beginning, face to face. Sometimes we feel lonely. Life can be quite lonely, can't it? Has anybody just felt excruciatingly lonely? I remember at about age 23 or something like that, I had gotten married young. It ended badly. I had ended up in a long-term separation that was leading to a divorce. Somehow, Dad helped me write my last 16-page paper to get my diploma to graduate from college. I mean, literally, I'm so distraught, depressed, and lonely that it's like I can't emotionally write this paper. So thank God for a good dad that comes and helps me write this paper. I got a job at Hillside High in Durham. I rent an apartment at Bainbridge Apartments. I don't know if those are still there. I'm living there by myself. Incredibly lonely. I had some friends over here, but nobody was really calling. I mean, I'm not blaming them for that. I look back now and say, that was a painfully sweet moment with God where He taught me something. He taught me that in those lonely moments, if I'll just turn and realize that He's right there, that in suffering, I can share in His glory. That's a Romans 6-8 lesson. You can look that up. That in my suffering, the beauty of it is I can also share in His glory. And I'll never forget that I turned the game off or something. I think it was around this time of the year. So it's probably March Madness. Go Tar Heels tonight at 5:00. Lord, we'll put in a good word with you. The dream matchup. I've been praying for this my whole life. Duke, Carolina in the Final Four. Come on, Lord, let it be. Back to the point. Back to the point, though, is I'm just exceedingly lonely. But by the grace of God, I started to worship by myself. I had gotten this guitar. I didn't play very well, but I knew like G and C. Maybe I could throw a D in there, Evan. Like, you can play a lot with GCD. If you get GCD down, you can play like, I exalt thee. You know, I'm like, I'm just worshiping with two chords. And you know what? I just felt the glory. The glory started coming to my apartment. And I'll never forget one weekend, I went to church that Sunday morning. And I'm on the back row and I'm just worshiping. And as I was leaving church that day, this lady caught me out in the parking lot. And she said, Matthew, I just got to tell you that I was behind you at church. And as you began to worship, there was this literal glow over you. She goes, I've never seen that before, but there was this literal like glow around you. I mean, I didn't know what to say. Well, thanks. You know, okay. But I know what she meant. It was like in that exceeding, excruciating loneliness, I found God. I found my Father, and He was right there all the time. So that's what I'm telling you. If you feel that, if you felt that, the Bible, this is a whole other thing, but it calls it the orphan spirit in John 14. Okay, it's this demonic spirit that tries to, again, keep you out of knowing that you are loved, that you are one with Him. He's right there. So this leads to point two. Oh, gosh. I have the legal authority. We all do. I put in the pronoun I, but just plug your name in there. I have the legal authority to call and know God as Father, the moment I believe and am born again. He just becomes your father. Again, technically, even before that, he was your creator. But you come to know him as father. And John 1:12 says this, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right. Everybody say the right.
The right.
He gave the right to become what? To become children of God. They are reborn, not with the physical birth resulting from human parents or passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. You and I, we have the legal authority. So whenever the devil reminds you of your past, you just remind him of his future. Just say, go to hell, Satan. That's legal. You can say that. You just flee from me. I'm not going to listen to these lies because I know I have a legal standing. I have a legal authority in Christ to be called a son of God, to become a daughter of the Most High. And number three, God the Father has always desired to make a home with us. Ooh, I love that. God the Father has always desired to come and make a home. I could talk about this for a long, long time, but just briefly, a place of community. There's eating, dancing, laughing, and crying. And all of the above. There's lying down on the floor like Michael and soaking in his presence. There's lifting our hands. There's rejoicing. There's mourning. Life is tough. But in this world, he's overcome it. There's difficulty and there's rejoicing. There's all of those emotions and experiences. But it's a place that he calls home.
Come on.
A place of loving discipline and correction. Because
yes.
Hebrews 10 talks about that. He disciplines those he loves as sons. A place where I learn who I am. It's a place of identity. John 1:14. So the word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. God the Father has always desired to make a home among us. As a father, I believe his desire is for home. His desire is for home. One of the evidences I have for that is because the devil's desire is for anti-home. That's not even a word. Homelessness. There you go. The devil's desire is always to destroy the family. Always. That's why I stand in opposition to things like Marxism, because it wants to destroy the family. It was Marx's, one of his primary goals. If you'll read his works, it's exactly what he said. This is primary strategy. We have to remove children from the home. We have to separate parents from kids. It's demonic. This was the plan from the beginning. Karl Marx just caught up 1,800 years, well, longer than that. Thousands of years later, that started in the garden.
Wow. Yeah.
Did God really say?
Wow. Yeah.
Well, yeah, God said, go be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. A man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife. I'm just saying all this to say that home is God's plan from the beginning. Why do you think that there's such a demonic strategy to destroy it? And I know we're no different than anybody else. There's fight, there's conflict in home. There's difficulty. There's things that need a testimony, like what Tracy was saying. I mean, there's all of these things. But home is something worth fighting for, but you're not in it alone.
Amen.
And this was really the word. Because the Father is there. He is there in your home to guide and to instruct, to discipline and to love. Check this out. Jesus replied this. All who love me. This is John 14:23. I don't know if I put that up there. All who love me will do what I say. Oh, yeah. My Father will love them and he will come and make our home with each of them.
Amen.
Wouldn't you love to have the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost come set up home in your home?
Yeah.
I think that's what he's done. He's done and he's desiring to do even more. is welcome into our home. We welcome you into our home, Trinity, and all the heavenly hosts. Come into our home. Teach us how to love one another. Be nice. That was one of my mentor's greatest marital advice. Here's my marital advice. Be nice. Kindness. I was talking to my middle school daughters. Like, somewhere around middle school, people lose the ability to be kind. They say whatever they're thinking. Anybody remember middle school? And it's really, really bad and really, really rough. And then we get adults and we never get it back. It's like, Lord, that's not the Trinity. That's not what is conducive to home. That's not where he wants to set this up.
That's right.
But what I want to ask you this morning is particularly about that issue with the Father. If you need God to touch you there, I want you to just raise your hand. Like, I just have this issue and I need the Lord to touch me regarding the Father. Amen. Evan, would you mind? Oh, you're holding the baby. If you could just strum the guitar, I just think that there's a moment here where the Lord really wants to do something in our hearts. Michael, did you have something to add?
I do.
Okay.
So I just feel like this moment, this is really good. Okay.
No.
I just felt the Lord when we were in worship and then when he put that picture of Jesus. One of the things we had a mentor when we moved here, Ken Helser, some of y'all may know Jonathan Helser and Melissa Helser, but his father, Ken Helser, we met with them before coming. And he said, when you go, don't forget, bring people to Jesus. Don't bring them to yourself.
Yeah.
Bring them to Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, and that has always stuck with me, and it's always been our heart and our passion. So to be able to really allow the Lord this morning to really deal with whatever may be keeping you from that face-to-face place with the Father, it's important. It is so important because bringing people to ourselves, we, you know, that he was saying, don't reduce people's dilemmas into problems, right?
Right.
Or problems. Or
no, that's right.
Yeah. In other words, don't reduce people's dilemmas into something you can just figure out. Just pick one way or the other. Yeah. You know, it's really when you have things, you really need to go to Jesus. You need to go bring it to the Father. Get face to face with him because he wants to be your all in all. He wants to be your source for everything. And just like he was talking about in that lonely place, it was a gift because the Lord swallowed up that loneliness with himself and a revelation of himself being right there. So I just really felt like this is really good. I want to see the Lord do this. And you said you had
something. Yeah, so I felt this when since I walked through the door, and I've been the Lord's just given me revelation too. You know, Jesus, when Jesus talked and he spoke through the scriptures, we have these things that he said, like all that I am. So you guys are all familiar with that, right? I am the bread of life. I am the truth and the way and the life. He spoke as if he was still in heaven, right? He was given an eternal perspective. And we deal with all this tangible here on earth. Right, the seeing and the touching and the feeling and all of that. But his desire for us is to live out of heaven.
That's right.
His desire is us to walk, let your spirit that he put a body on, let your spirit that communes with him now that you are a son, lead and guide you in everything you do. I know that sounds so, you know, so cliche-ish, you know, let the Holy Spirit lead you. But that's his desire for us. His desire is to know him in such a way and have him down in your heart in such a way that his spirit comes forward and leads your body and your mind. So that everything you do and everything you, all the things you interact with in life are influenced primarily from heaven through the Holy Spirit that is in you. So I feel like I almost started singing out of a song. He's, and it is a song, come up higher, come up here. Keep your feet on the ground in the physical, but come up here in the spirit. So I just wanted to share that with you. I'm feeling that on myself and on everybody in this place and everybody who has a relationship with the Lord to understand that. Have it as a desire in your heart.
Father, we just love you. Just thank you, God, for what you've done for us. Lord, that even when we've turned our back and we've walked other ways, Lord, and gone about our own, just living through our own wisdom, Father, you're right there. You've been with us the whole time. And God, I just pray for our hearts right now that you would go into that corner, that room. Just right now, just give him permission all over this room to go into that room of your heart where you need the Father to come and live. Maybe it's that place of pain or that place that you're just kind of holding back for yours. That place where you just haven't fully surrendered. You know, I believe the Father wants to come and show you that he's not going to come and tear your walls down. He's going to come and build you up. He's going to come and replace whatever you think you have in your own strength with so much more of his. In his glory. So Holy Spirit, just come and breathe right now. Just come and move right now. Just come into those rooms of our hearts, Abba, that have been dark and shadowy. Just come right now. We give you permission, Abba. We cry out, Abba God, our Father, our Redeemer, our Savior. We just love you. Just take another minute. He's just speaking to so many right now. Walking into that room right now. There's somebody, you see yourself in this room, and here he comes right now. He's coming into your room right now. Just embrace him and ask him what he has for you.
With the price, we would know that we are yours. we've been bought with a price. We would know that we are yours. We want to know you, Father. Yeah, Lord, I just pray that the spirit of abandonment will go right now in Jesus' name. Any area of our lives where the abandonment, the spirit of abandonment came in, we just shut those doors right now by the blood of Jesus. And we just ask you, Father, that you would just release the spirit of adoption by which we cry, Abba, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Here's how I feel like we should close today. If we could have some moms and dads come up here. The Marillos, Keese, Parkers. If you guys could come up here and just stand at the front. Moores. Just come up here and there's something to be said about the ministry of hugs. And if you just like for, you know, a mom or a dad to give you a hug and pray for you, just pray a blessing. Just pray a blessing. I want them to do that, but I want each person to listen to me carefully here. When we go from this place, I want you to ask the Father, Father, reveal yourself to me. Every day, wake up and say, Father, would you reveal yourself? For me, I like to call him Dad or Daddy or Papa. It makes it feel less formal to me. Our Father who art in heaven. I just feel like it's a billion miles away. Like, it's not touchable. No, he's very accessible. Papa, what do you have to say about me today? What are you saying to me today? I want you to do that. And then secondly, I want you to crack open Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I want you to find the Father. Notice how Jesus interacts with the Father. Ask the Father to show himself to you. Right? Will you do that? All right, Bailey. Come on.
Yeah, I just wanted to invite Bailey. She's a junior at UNC. But God's really been just revealing a few things in this area. And so if we could just close our eyes and just receive the impartation, really believe that what she has to share is going to impact us.
Yeah, so Friday night during the worship night, I walked in and the Lord was just, he was already there, and I kind of saw on the ceiling, I saw his like face come down, and I saw this eye, like the eye of the Father, like looking down on everyone. And then like as worship was going, I just, Michael and like the worship team was kind of singing to be loved is to be seen by you, and he led me to Psalm 34:15. It says the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. And just like if you've like been unseen, unheard, overlooked, and you just feel like the Lord, like, or people just haven't seen you in life and you just don't have like, feel like people know you, I just feel like the Father wants you to know that like you are seen by him, like his eyes are on you, like his eyes that are full of fire and like passion and just his heart for you that is shown through his eyes, and his eyes just like looking down and looking at you, like face to face at you. And so just like the Lord sees us, and even just like with Hagar, like he saw her affliction, like he saw what she was going through, and he said like, I will multiply like your offspring, I will multiply you, like
Amen.
He is a God who sees and he is a God who hears, and he loves you all so much. And Lord, I just pray over those who feel unseen, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that right now they will see what your eyes look like looking into theirs. God, will they feel your eyes boring into them, Lord? Will they just see your eyes looking into their hearts, God? And if it feels uncomfortable, Lord, I just pray that you break down those barriers, Lord. I just pray that those barriers will be just like removed, Lord, and that it will just be them, just who they are, Lord, that you will just, they will feel your eyes just filling them, like your eyes that want to fill us, set us aflame with your love, Lord. I just pray. pray, God, that every single person will feel seen.
Yes,
every single person will know that you see everything. Their finances, their family, like their schoolwork, like you see it all, and you hear every cry that they have towards you, God.
Yes, God.
So we release that. Release that over every single person, Lord. Release your healing, Lord, over every person, Jesus. In your name, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. So if you need to, you just come get a blessing. Let the Lord just touch you for these parents. Come bless you. Speak a blessing over you. And you guys be blessed. Have a fantastic week. I just pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you. That he would make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Amen.